Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and it is time for our midweek Bible study. The title of our Bible study is Let's Talk About Jesus. We used to be on radio for several years in North Florida, connected from the radio station to the internet, and it went out to many nations of the world, and we were so grateful for that opportunity to be on radio. We just transferred the name of our radio broadcast, Let's Talk About Jesus, to our internet Bible study. So that's where this name has been transferred from. If you heard the radio broadcast years ago, this is us. Amen. And we're so glad that you have found us and you have joined us today. Now, I believe that I'm here by divine appointment. I'm called and anointed and appointed, therefore, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ into all the world. And through the internet, this is possible like never, ever before. Through all media, television, radio, podcast, Facebook, just you name it, all of the media is available today. And we're using this part of the media. And God, I pray, will use us. And God has brought you here. I believe that today by divine appointment as well. So we welcome you today. If you're not a Christian, please stay tuned to hear our hope, the reason for our hope in these troubled times that we are living. As if you're a Christian today, God wants you to understand that He is with us, He is for us, and He will not allow us to be overwhelmed by all of the things that we are facing in these last days. We can have a place of shelter, a place of safety, a place of security as we come to know God through the redemptive names that the people gave Him because of what He did to help them. We talked last week on Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide, and how much, and we don't, listen, we're not going to do justice to any one of these, but we want to begin to think more deeply about who it is that is for us, who it is that is with us, and how He has promised to provide us the help we need and everything we need that pertains to life and godliness until Jesus comes. Praise God. Today we're going to talk about Jehovah Nissi, another situation where God showed Himself strong in behalf of His people. We're going to find this statement text in Exodus 17, but we're going to put it in context, reading 8 through 16. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord our banner, the Lord our standard. And we're going to see that as we study that. But let's get in the Word today. There are battles going on that are fought in the spirit realm that are manifesting itself in the physical and material realm. There are things happening in the heavenlies that are determining the ebb and flow of the battles that are taking place. And I'm not talking about the war between Israel right now, although that's part of all of this. I'm talking about what's happening with schools and school boards that are not allowing parents to parent their children and instill the values of that household upon those children instead of allowing someone else to do that. A friend of mine, that's a battle that is occurring right now for the minds and souls of our children. But that battle initially is being fought and must be won in the heavenlies before we can win it here in the political realm and in the physical realm. We must understand that our warfare is not with flesh and blood. The battle is not with flesh and blood. We wrestle not just with crazy people, amen, and enemies that are physical, but we wrestle with powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, according to Ephesians 6 and 10. But let's look how both of these battles, the one in the spiritual realm, affected the one in the physical realm. We begin to fight effectively in the spirit realm, and then we begin to win in every other area. Let's listen to it together. Exodus 17, 8 through 16. It said, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God," underscore that, "in my hand." Remember when they were up against the Red Sea? And God said, He said, "What are we going to do? This entire army is coming down to destroy us all, and our backs are against the sea. We can't get away from them." And God said, "What do you have in your hand?" And it was Aaron's rod that had budded, and he held it out. Something supernatural had to occur to give them victory. So he held it out, and God parted the Red Sea. I mean, he just held out that rod, but he began to cry out to God in intercession for the people. "Lord, how shall we do?" Amen. He said, "What you got in your hand?" He said, "I got a rod." Hold it out. And as he held it out, this great intercessor in behalf of his people, Israel, and this great God who was in covenant with Israel through Abraham, amen, parted the Red Sea, and they crossed safely. And then the waters came down as Pharaoh's army tried to cross with horses and chariots and people and destroy them. And then there was a celebration, a victory celebration. Amen. Miriam grabbed a tambourine, began to, with the women of Israel, beginning with them, and then everyone evidently joined in, saying, "Our God is a man of war. The horse and rider is thrown into the sea." There's victory, friend. But there's only victory that begins and originates in conquering through intercession in the spirit realm. And then we see it manifest out in the real world in real time. That's not that that isn't real. That's more real and eternal than this temporal world. But in the physical material world, we see it manifest. The name of the Lord indeed is a strong tower. Proverbs 18:10. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Praise God. Listen to how this worked. "And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand," what did he have in his hand? The rod of God. Listen, he was interceding. He was interceding for Israel. He was asking God for supernatural help to win this battle. He said he held up his hand. "And when he did, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed." The ebb and flow of battle was determined whether he was able to continue to intercede effectively. Verse 12 says, "But Moses' hands were heavy, and they saw that when his hand came down, the battle turned. When his hands were lifted high as he prayed, then the battle turned the other way. So they grabbed a stone and they pushed it to where he could sit down upon it. And then one on one side and one on the other." Listen, said, "But their Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone, put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, held up his hands, the one on the one side and the one on the other side. And his hands were steady till the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial. Don't ever forget this. Don't ever forget this God-given supernatural victory, you see, as a result of effective perpetual intercession. Amen. Hallelujah. This interceding man on the hill. Hallelujah. And the two men that stood with him. That was the determining factor. It wasn't the energy, the ingenuity, or the armor of those men on that physical battlefield. It was the armor of armor on this man on the top of the hill, Moses, their leader, interceding for them. Praise God, that turned the tide of battle. Praise God. Listen to it carefully. Write this for a memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. We will always have an enemy. You see, coming against us, Israel will always have an enemy coming against them, now more enemies than ever. And it's going to increase. Watch the end time prophecies unfold. Listen, Jesus is coming soon, but until he comes, we're to occupy. We're to overcome, fighting under his banner. In the Chaldee tongue, it would read, Moses lifted up his hands in prayer. And remember what he had in his hand, one hand? He had the rod of the Lord. Once again, we see both the necessity and power of intercession. Effective intercession acknowledges our weakness and our reliance on God's power. The rod held up over the battle below was not the rod of Moses, or the rod of Joshua, or the rod of Israel. It was the rod of God. Moses' effective intercession resulted in supernatural intervention. It always does. God used the weak. Moses got tired. His hands came down. They had to put a stone under him and hold up his hands. He was weak. He did the weak thing by faith. And God did the mighty thing as a result of his dependence on God for victory. Hallelujah. They fought and won because they fought under God's banner. And as a memorial, he built an altar and called it Jehovah Nissi, which means banner in the Hebrew. A pole, literally with an insignia attached. Hallelujah. Speaking of the Messiah who was to come, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 11:10, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as an ensign, which means standard or banner, of the people. And it shall be that the Gentiles shall seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 60, verse 4, once again. Thou hast given them a banner. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of thy truth. I like the Amplified. Thou hast set up a banner for those who fear you, with awe-inspired reverence and submissive wonder, a banner that may be displayed because of the truth, a banner to shield them from attack. Now, that doesn't mean they won't get attacked. It means they will be shielded when the attack comes, that God himself will be a shield, a supernatural shield to them. That's why the Bible said above all, in spiritual warfare with spiritual armament, taking the shield of faith. That's faith in God's promise to protect us when we fight under His banner in His name. David said it, didn't he, when he faced the giant, "You come at me with physical weapons. You're way bigger. You've got more armor and more armaments. You come at me with sword and shield and spear. I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel." Praise God. Hallelujah. I like the paraphrase of this. It says, "But you have lifted up a flag for the people who serve you. They can meet together there to be safe in the battle." Hallelujah. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Amen. A little further down it says, "A Redeemer shall come to Zion." Jesus is our standard. We rally to Jesus. We rally to God. We rally to the name of God, Jehovah Nissi. We fight under His flag. Hallelujah. We fight in His name. Praise God. Because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Praise God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, are you getting something here today? Is something beginning to, are you seeing who is with you and who is for you? Listen to Psalm, because we're going to feel overwhelmed. That's the nature of floods. It comes to overwhelm us, to wash over us with great force. But when that occurs, not if, but when it occurs, God says, "You're fighting under my banner. I'm going to be a shield for you." The psalmist David put it this way, "Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me, my glory, and the lifter of my head." Hallelujah. Listen to Psalm 20, verse 5 through 8. "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." In other words, the Lord hear you when you call. The Lord answer your prayer. The Lord come on the scene. Listen to verse 6. Why are you laughing? You're going to find out in a little while. Amen. You're finding out right now as I read this. "Now know I, the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand." The Lord is right-handed. Do you get that? You know what he told ancient Israel? He said, "Don't be afraid. No matter what you face, don't be afraid. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." Praise God. Hallelujah. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Amen. Listen, with the saving strength of his right hand, verse 7, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember." That's why a memorial is built. That's why this altar is built. This, to remember. Every time you go to battle, remember, it is the Lord who grants us victory. We dare not go to battle in any other name than the name of the Lord God of Israel, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for we fight under His banner. Praise God. And He takes up the battle with us then, because He is for us. Listen to verse 8. "They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call." In light of all of this, one paraphrase of these various scriptures says, "May there be shouts of joy when we hear the news of your victory, flags flying with praise to God." Amen. Hallelujah. The Amalekites that Israel was fighting were called by the nations around them plunderers. Listen, the devil, like the Amalekites, is a plunderer, a murderer, and a thief. Listen, John 10, in verse 10, Jesus said the thief came. See, he came to plunder. Came not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. The thief came to steal, kill, destroy, to plunder our children, to plunder our nation, to plunder our world, to plunder the souls of men and women, boys and girls, steal, kill, and destroy. Listen, but Jesus said, but I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Praise God. When we fight under God's banner, God takes our side. He enables us with His power and presence, His very armor, to overcome. Psalm 24 is one of those great victory psalms, and I'm not even watching time right now. We're aware that we, amen, that time is passing. But I'm not on radio right now. Amen. Thank God I'm on the internet. If we run a little over, they're not going to cut me off. You may cut me off, but nobody else is. Holy Spirit isn't going to cut me off till He's done. And I hope I can quit when He's done, because it would be really, really sad without the Holy Spirit helping me. Praise God. Psalm 124, verses 1 through 8. Listen to it. If it had not been for the Lord, who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been for the Lord, who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Can you say amen in this audience? Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul, just swept us like a flood tide. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Listen, the Bible said once again, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Praise God. Amen. There's a little debate on how that should read. Like a flood, God is going to come against this flood of wickedness and evil, countering a flood with a flood. Praise God. A greater flood. God's power is always greater, and not by a small measure, but by an overwhelming measure. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord is going to raise up a standard against him. Praise God. To sweep him away instead of him sweeping us away. Verse 6 says, blessed be the Lord, who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. A snare is a trap, and a fowler is waiting and watching for that bird to get caught in the trap, and then he's got it. And God says, I'm going to deliver you from every trap that the devil sets. Praise God. Amen. He's promising a victory, so that we are victors instead of victims of the devil, because we fight under his banner. And if he wasn't for us, our enemy would always prevail over us. But the scripture says in Romans 8, what more shall we say to these things? If God be for us, and he is, dear friend, if you're a Christian, who can be against us? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Further down it says, a Redeemer shall come to Zion. Who is this Redeemer? It is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. It's the name of Jesus that we put forth as we go to battle. We do what we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we fight under God's banner, Jehovah Nissi. Hallelujah. Amen. And we are assured of a supernatural move of God to grant a victory. And for that war that is won in the heavenlies is manifest here in real time, because he is a right here, right now God to help us. Remember the name of the Lord. When fear comes, and it will, and we have to deal with it. Fear not doesn't mean pretend it doesn't exist, but to acknowledge, yeah, this is serious. This is something that to be deeply concerned about, but not stymied and paralyzed by fear. Listen, when fear comes, we remember that our God is for us and our God is with us. And ultimately, the battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. When God turned the captivity of Israel, and I believe he wants to get us out of the prison house of fear, he wants to set us free to serve him, and he wants to hear the joyful sound of victory coming from the mouths and tongues of his people. When God turned the captivity of Israel, they said, we're like those who dream. And there was our mouth and tongue filled with laughter and song. It's the laughter and songs of victory that God is listening to hear from his children. This is a day of great tumult and trouble, but we have Jehovah Nissi as our vanguard, as our insignia. And the name of Jesus is our banner. And we fight under that banner. And we win because he is a shield for us, our glory. He's the lifter of our head. Praise God. Oh, today, dear friend, this is no day to be overwhelmed. When you go through the waters, they shall not overwhelm thee. You won't drown by that flood because he said, I am with thee. That's what it means. If God is for us, who can be against us? Praise God. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the scripture is very clear. It says they are without God and without hope in the world. Without God and without hope. That means right now, no matter if you're a billionaire, no matter if you're so strong you could bench press a Buick, it doesn't matter about your fortune, it doesn't matter about your fame. I'll just use one illustration, because I go to hospitals a lot to pray with and for people. If a doctor walks out and said you're in stage 4 cancer, there's no need for chemo. There's no need for this or that. You're too far gone. All of the money in the world can't buy something that is not for sale on the marketplace. Can't buy time. Can't buy healing. Without God, there's so many situations that we are without hope. And one day, inevitably, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. Where will you be? Where will you spend eternity? The fortune will do you no good. The fame will have no effect. But friend, if you will come to Jesus, if you will run to Jesus, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it. May I say, you can run into it too. And you can be saved. You can be made right with God, reconciled to God. Repent of your sin. Receive Jesus as your Savior. Renounce the hidden works of darkness. Embrace the truth and the life and the way. Come to Christ. Run to Christ. And in His name, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Shammah, Jesus Christ will be your strong tower. Amen.